May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's an honor and a privilege to be here with you all this morning and to be preaching my very first sermon as a pastor. It was beginning to feel like it would never happen, but last week here at Good Shepherd, I was officially and publicly placed into the office of the Holy Ministry. Pastor Walther graciously officiated the service of my ordination, and I took my vows that with God's help, I would preach and teach the whole counsel of God's Word. That means I promise to preach both those parts of the Holy Scriptures that I want to, as well as those that I really don't. And, of course, the text assigned on the Sunday of my first sermon is one that I really don't want to preach. It's the oh-so-lovely story of the beheading of John the Baptist. Yeah, welcome to the preaching office. Well, the truth is, I couldn't have asked for a better text for my first sermon, because while it may not be the sort of text that I necessarily want to preach, it's one that we all really need to hear. You see, I would much rather be preaching on the text we heard last week. Do you remember where Jesus sent out the disciples and he gave them the authority over unclean spirits, and they go out preaching repentance and casting out demons and healing the sick? Now, there's a sermon I would love to preach about how God was at work in this world using his disciples to reverse the effects of sin. That's the kind of sermon a pastor loves to preach, and especially a missionary pastor like myself. As a missionary pastor, I want to be able to tell you, my supporting congregation, about how God is at work in this world, and about how the kingdom of God is advancing, and how the fame of Jesus is spreading all throughout the world. I want to be able to tell you inspiring missionary stories and give you evidence that Jesus is alive and well and that his church is on the move. But that was last week's text. And the text for this week, Mark presses pause on all those inspiring missionary stories, and instead he gives to us this story of embarrassing defeat. Right when we were starting to see the kingdom of God gaining ground and the beginning of the restoration of all of creation in Jesus, Mark interrupts the story with this grim and gruesome account of John's death. King Herod had gotten himself into a messy situation. He had broken God's law by marrying his brother's wife, and John had called him on it. God had sent John to call Herod to repentance, but Herod's wife, Herodias, didn't appreciate that too much. And so when the opportunity arose on Herod's birthday, Herodias requested the death of John the Baptist. And even though Herod knows that John is a righteous and holy man, he gives in to the wishes of his wife. And caring more about his reputation than John's life, he says the word, and John's head is brought to his daughter on a platter. How's that for an inspiring story? It seems even more pathetic when you consider John's role in the story that Mark is telling. For Mark, John the Baptist is not just some minor character in the history of our salvation. For Mark, it's John whom God uses to announce the arrival of the kingdom of God on earth. It's John the Baptist whom God uses to announce that in Jesus, the kingdom of God had broken into this broken and dark and crooked world in order to make things right again. For all of the gospel writers, but especially for Mark, John the Baptist is a big deal. He was the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. He stood in the line of the prophets of old. He had a message directly from God for the people of God, and yet none of that stops him from getting his head chopped off. Maybe the kingdom of God is not winning after all. That's the question that Mark drives us to this morning. Is God really reigning and ruling in this world? It's easy to believe that he is when we hear stories of mass conversions, of demons being cast out, and of the sick being healed. We are gluttons for stories of the miraculous, right? We love to hear stories of lives transformed and of churches growing. It makes us feel good about the future of the church and like we're on the right side of history or we're on the winning team. But what if all you hear are stories about our church body shrinking or about our kids leaving? What then? What if all you hear are stories about how the church is losing influence in the culture or is being ostracized for upholding God's design for marriage and family? What then? Or what if all you hear are stories about how our religious freedoms are under attack? I don't know about you, but those are the sorts of stories that I've been hearing a lot lately. People ask me all the time how I feel about becoming a pastor at such a time as this, a time that is dark and confusing and conflicting, where the future of the church seems to be so grim. So that's why I couldn't have asked for a better text for my very first sermon as a pastor. Because it's a text that speaks directly to us and our natural tendency to measure the success of God's kingdom in terms of power or growth or influence. This text won't let us go down that road. It protects us from what Luther calls a theology of glory. And instead, it calls us to discipleship that doesn't necessarily promise victory or success as the world defines it. It calls us to faith that knows that the Christian life is not always one full of inspiring stories or miraculous healings, but is one rather that is marked by weakness, suffering. This text calls us to faith that sees things for how they really are. Faith that sees beyond the shallow surface of how things might seem in this world and looks instead to Jesus. After all, that's where Mark is taking us. The reason he flashes back to the episode of John's death is to move us forward to a story that is even more grim and gruesome. The bloody death of John is a foreshadowing of the bloody death of Jesus. And on the surface, the suffering and death of God's one and only Son on the cross appears to be the very end of God's kingdom, not the beginning. If you saw him hanging there all bloody and bruised on the cross, you too might think that God hated him as well as all of his followers. You might think that that was the end of it. No hope for a future. But faith understands that God is at work even in the midst and even through the very worst of suffering and pain. You and I know that it was through that terrible tragedy that God was at work, freeing us from our sin and winning for us eternal life and joy and peace. So that's why I couldn't ask for a better text for my first sermon as a pastor, because it's the text I so badly need to hear. You and I, we need to hear this grim and gruesome account. And not only us, but the whole world needs to hear it. As you may or may not know, I've been called to serve as a missionary in Puerto Rico, a place where many have been driven to the same question that St. Mark has us considering this morning. Is God really reigning and ruling this world? And because of your help and support to get me there, it will be my privilege to share with the people of Puerto Rico in the midst of the storm that message they really need to hear. The grim and gruesome and bloody account of Jesus hanging on the cross, paying for their sins, proving to the world once and for all that we have a God who loves us and cares for us and will do anything for us. And my prayer is that you too would know that the same is true in your life today. In Jesus' name, amen.